Okay, well, let's look a little bit at Psalm 51. And if you're familiar with the story of David's life, you know the basic storyline here. David had basically he had created a problem for himself when he stayed home when the battle was going on, the army was going out to fight. And David stayed home, decided he was going to sit this one out. And, you know, and that's not in itself wrong or anything, but we need to be careful. I think especially in the times when we're resting or we're getting some relief from some of the strain, sometimes we relax too much. And David, if you remember the story, David was out at night on the roof of his house, and that was a common thing that they built their houses with a flat roof, and then they used that for various kinds of work and leisure. And he was out there, saw a woman bathing who was very beautiful. Her name was Bathsheba. He sent for her, committed adultery with her, and then tried to cover his crime. He called her husband Uriah the Hittite, who was one of the 30, who was one of the great fighting men of David's. Called him in from the battle, inquired about him, you know, sent him down to his house so that he could cover his crime. Would not work though. Uriah would not agree to this, even when David got him drunk trying to cover David's sin. And so David wrote a note, gave it to Uriah. He was to give it to Joab, the commander. And in the note it said, put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle, retire from him. And, you know, that's what happened. Basically, David committed murder to cover his sin. And that's, you know, part of the problem with sin is that it's always more. I mean, it starts with one thing. It doesn't end there. It just keeps on going. You tell a lie, well, then you're going to have to tell another lie to cover that lie. And then maybe another lie. And then another one after that. And then the further it goes, the harder it gets. Because if you've gotten caught in that web, you know, by the time you get to the fourth or fifth lie, you're trying to remember what you said to this person so you don't cross yourself up out here somewhere. And, you know, inevitably, you're going to be found out. And David was found out. If you remember, God sent the prophet Nathan. Now, it had been probably a year or something like that, maybe a year's time since David's sin, that God sent the prophet Nathan to David. And Nathan told David this horrific story, and it was horrific to David because David was a shepherd, and David had the heart of a shepherd for his flock of sheep. And he told the story about a poor man who had only one little lamb, and it's kind of a family pet. But there was a rich man who had many flocks and herds, and one day the rich man had a visitor come, and so instead of slaughtering one of his own animals, he took the animal of this poor man. He took this family pet and slaughtered it to feed his guest. And David said, the man who has done this, you know, is, I don't remember the exact words, but he must pay. This is horrible. And Nathan said, David, you are the man. And the Spirit of God just convicted David in that moment, and he repented. He confessed his sin, and Nathan told him, God has forgiven your sin, but the consequences of your sin are still going to be present. And so here's a couple thoughts before we launch into the psalm. But one is that when you sin, God will forgive your sin. If you turn to Him and ask Him and truly repent of your sin, He will forgive you. He will. But sometimes the consequence of our sin still follows us. Sometimes those things, now, you know, God may work some of that out, or He may change some things, but yet sometimes He allows the natural consequence of our action to continue on in our life. And so, you know, you'll see today, you'll see a young person who makes a bad decision, drinks, gets in a vehicle, runs a red light, kills a little baby in the car or whatever that he hits. Well, the sin is forgivable, absolutely. But think about the consequence of that. You're going to go to your grave carrying that memory, carrying that thought, carrying that burden. And, you know, God's able and He gives grace. So He is able to help us with that. But sin is such a destructive force in our lives. And sometimes we think, well, it's going to be okay. No one knows. Well, no one knew about, you know, David's sin except Bathsheba, until she turned up pregnant. And it couldn't be hidden anymore. And, you know, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And so, you know, our best course, our best policy is just to give it to God, to surrender it to Him, confess it to Him, and be done with it. Move on. Repent of it. I guess that's the other part of it. You know, Nathan the prophet told David, said, God has forgiven you of your sin, but the child that has been born out of this union is not going to live. And the sword will never depart from your household. And David paid an enormous price for his sin. And so lest you think, well, it's not a big deal, nobody knows, it's no great thing, you don't understand. You don't understand what that may cost you before all is said and done. And you may think you're able to pay, but I'm going to just assure you that if David could stand here today and speak to us about it, I believe he would say, run from that temptation. Flee from it. Don't even entertain the thought. Get away from that. It will destroy you and it will destroy your family. And so, all right, so Psalm 51, and the title that is printed in my Bible is To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And so, you know, it is a psalm of confession. And as we read that, we think about that, you still have to remember and be reminded that David is the man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. And I think we see that in this psalm. You know, even though he had messed up, he had fallen, he had broken God's laws. I mean, he'd broken numerous of the Ten Commandments, numbers of them. And so, and even Bathsheba. I mean, we might look at her and think, well, she's, you know, partly to blame. Well, you know, I don't know how much blame you can put on her because of David's position and whatnot. But she's included in the genealogy of Christ. She became a part of the genealogy of Jesus. And so, you know, God's able to forgive us and still use us. So don't be discouraged if you're feeling like, well, this is heavy and it's kind of hard because it's where I've been or whatever. We've all been there. And we just don't want to live there. Well, let's look at this. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Well, David prays first of all, and this is a prayer through and through. And pretty much there's no mention of forgiveness here or of what God did in response. It's just David's prayer of repentance and in asking for God's forgiveness. So he prays and he says, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. So his loving kindness is the love that God has for every one of us. And, you know, the neat thing about that is that God's love doesn't change from day to day. You know, God still loved David the same the day after his transgression as he did the day before. He did not like what he did, and he would not stand for it. But he still loved him the same. And, you know, I think we understand that. Sometimes our children disobey us. We still love them. We get exasperated with them. Sometimes we're flat out mad at them. But we still love them. And that will never change. Well, God's love is even greater. Even stronger. So David prays according to that. According to your loving kindness. And then according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Not just to your tender mercies, but the multitude, the numerous tender mercies that you have. So God has compassion for us. And He is loving, and He is willing for us to be restored. You know, I think sometimes people want to punish other people when they get, you know, off into sin or they do things wrong. We want to hold something against them. Well, she did that, you know, and years later we may still hold on to that thing. And God does not do that, thankfully. He forgives us. Well, it's according to His loving kindness and the multitude of His tender mercies. And now notice the end of that verse. According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So that's like an eraser. Okay? If you blot out something, you're erasing it. You're removing it. So he says, blot out, remove my transgressions, those things that I have done. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. And that word is similar to washing clothing. You know, when our clothing gets dirty, we throw it in the wash, and it's washed, it's made clean. And then the final word he uses here is cleanse me from my sin. And so this is a word that was used of the priest and those, the Levites and those who took part in the temple ceremonies. They would come to serve the Lord, but before they did that, they would be cleansed. They would wash themselves, make themselves clean. And so David asked God, blot out my transgression, wash me, and cleanse me. And so, you know, there is a thoroughness here to his prayer. I mean, he is pouring out. Good morning. Well, I'm glad you didn't miss this. This was your psalm. Yes. So I'm glad you could make it. We prayed for you. Bless your heart. Yeah, well, we all do sometimes. Okay. He's recording it for you, so. All right. So, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me from my sin. Okay, here's one contrast. Because often today when we confess sin, we do it in a very casual way. We say something like, oh, we pray first. We pray our prayer. Lord, bless, meet needs, you know, do all this. And then we come down toward the end and we start, you know, tacking on a few insurance phrases here just to cover all the bases, make sure we've got the fine print. And one of those things is, and Lord, forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that simple phrase, man, we have just wiped our life clean. Everything is good from now on. Except, that's not true confession of sin. True confession of sin, when you read that word in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin and to cleanse us of, to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay, so that word confess there is the Greek word homo lageo. Lageo means to speak, to say. Homo means same. So if we speak the same thing about our sin that God says about it, what are we saying? Well, number one, we're recognizing that it is sin. We're admitting this was not just some mistake, some little problem I had. You know, we have nice little ways today to dress up sin. Oh, he had an episode of moral failure. You know, we make it sound so so much better, except it isn't. But we need to say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. Well, and David's going to do that pretty much throughout this psalm. Notice verse 4. He says, against thee only have I sinned. The first thing we have to know about sin is that sin is an offense against a holy God. When you sin, it's not just a sin against that other person. Now, let's be clear. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he was sinning against Bathsheba. It was a sin against her. It was a sin against Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. It was a sin against Bathsheba's family. It was a sin against David, his own body and his own self. It was a sin against his wives. And he had wives. Not just a wife. He had wives. And there was no excuse for any of this. But he sinned against his own family. He sinned against the nation of Israel because he was the king and he did this. But more than that, and mostly, he sinned against God. In fact, when he says it here, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I mean, he understands that ultimately it is a sin against God. And so whatever our sin is, it doesn't matter how little it is or how white it is or how small it is or how unimportant it is. Any sin is a sin against God. So when we confess our sin, we say the same thing about it that God says. And God says, it is an offense against me. And then also, though, when we confess our sin, we say that our sin is what sent Jesus to the cross. You know, it kind of changes your heart a little bit when you pray and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for that cross word that I spoke to my wife earlier today. Lord, I know that's what Jesus died on the cross for. It was all my cross words, all my unkind thoughts, all the attitudes of my heart that are wrong, all the things I've ever done. But when you bring it to that context and you put it in front of the cross, suddenly it feels different. And the danger in confessing our sin is we come to the Lord and you know, I've done this. Maybe you have at some point. But we come to the Lord and we confess our sin, but we're basically saying, oh, Lord, I did it again. Sorry about that. Try to do better. And we just float along. And guess what? We do it again. You know, it does come back. And we get into a pattern. And we sin, we fail, Oh, Lord, forgive us. Temptation comes again. We fail. And we're just in this cycle. We're in this pattern. And good morning. So, one of the things that we want to do when we confess sin is we want to confess it. Say the same thing about it that God says about it. Because when you do that, there's no casual element to it. You are very focused on the fact that this is something that cannot continue in my life. I've got to change this, or God's got to change it in me, because we don't have the strength ourselves. So as we think then about David's prayer, he's crying out to God, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions." I mean, own the fact that this is you. This is what you did. This is your sin. It is yours. And so, I've dealt with people. I talked to one man who had sinned in a very public way. And I said, what you did was wrong. Have you asked God for forgiveness? And he was offended. I mean, he was a member of our church, and he was, but he was offended when I asked him that. It bothered him. Well, folks, when we sin, the first step is own it. David says, "I acknowledge my transgressions." This wasn't something my daddy did that forced me to do. My mama didn't do something. My upbringing didn't cause me. My education or my lack of socioeconomic status or whatever. There are no extenuating circumstances. There are no justifying factors that would excuse what we have done. Own it. I acknowledge my transgressions. And so, I think that's a great danger today, is that we can know that we messed up, but in our heart we're blaming that other person, or we're blaming something else or somebody else. And that's not true confession. True confession is you own that. And, it's not a lot of fun to do. It's not, but it is freeing. If you want to be free, here's the path to freedom. And it's the path. It's the best path. It's the only path, really. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. This is a sin that God had assured. I mean, Nathan, as soon as David confessed he had done wrong, that Nathan said, "And God has forgiven your sin." But here it is, however much long later, and David says, "My sin is ever before me." He had to live with what he had done. And so I want to encourage you, it's not to develop some kind of negative, fatalistic, or gloomy, depressed thought about it, about what you've done or your past actions. Is to give it to God so thoroughly that He lifts it off of you and He takes that from you. And He can do that. And if you are living in the past and you're constantly dwelling on those mistakes and those sins and those problems and those things, that's not right either. You can't do that. You've got to give it to God and keep giving it to God until God lifts that off of you. And you may never forget what happened, but you'll have peace and you'll have the grace of God to go on and live your life. So I think we're going to have to quit here. These people are piling up out here like cordwood. So we're going to have to stop. And yeah. All right, so we'll continue with Psalm 51 next week, Lord willing. So please read through it this week, and Good stuff, even though it's very strong. Talk about a different kind of psalm. You know, we looked at some different psalms. Boy, this one is something. All right, thank you all. What are y'all waiting on?
Waiting on you, actually.
I'm done.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I could tell.